33. Bought. Aeroflot flight SU-244, departing Heathrow at 10:30 in the evening, proves to be a Boeing 737, not the Tupolev she's been hoping for. She's never been to Russia before and thinks of it primarily in the light of childhood stories of winds, the world beyond the perimeters of the world he'd been dedicated to protecting. A world of toilet-navigating spy devices and ceaseless duplicity. In her childhood's Russia, it's always snowing. Men wear dark, furry hats. She wonders, finding her aisle seat and coach, whether Aeroflot had had to compete to retain the hammer and sickle as its logo, and how exclusive that is. Massive recognition factor. It's a winged version, rendered with considerable delicacy, and she finds it curiously difficult to date, a sort of Victorian futurist look. She has a neutral reaction to it, she finds, which is a great relief. National icons are always neutral for her, with the exception of Nazi Germany's, and this not so much from a sense of historical evil, though she certainly has that, as from an awareness of a scary excess of design talent. Hitler had had entirely too brilliant a graphics department and had understood the power of branding all too well. Heinze would have done just fine back then, but she doubts that even he could have managed a better job of it. Swastikas, and particularly the fact that there had been that custom-type slug for SS, induce a violent reaction akin to her Tommy phobia, but in an even worse direction. She'd once worked for a month in Austria, where these symbols are not suppressed by law, as they are in Germany, and had learned to cross the street if she realized she was approaching the window of an antique shop. The national symbols of her homeland don't trigger her, or so far haven't, and over the past year in New York she's been deeply grateful for this. An allergy to flags or eagles would have reduced her to shut-in status, a species of semiotic agoraphobia. She stows her Rixons in the overhead bin, takes her seat, and slides the bag with the iBook beneath the seat in front of her. The legroom isn't bad, and thinking this, she experiences a kind of pseudo-nostalgia for Wynn's version of Aeroflot. Vicious flight attendants flinging stale sandwiches at you, and small plastic bags provided in which to place pens, a thoughtful precaution against frequent depressurizations. He'd told her that Poland from the air looked like Kansas, as farmed by elves, the patchwork field so much smaller, the land as flat and vast. Soon they are taxiing toward takeoff, the seats beside her empty, and it strikes her that, through luck, and for little more than she'd paid earlier for express service on a visa, she'll have almost as much space and privacy as she'd had to and from Tokyo.